It's good to see you again. I have good news and good news. Which one do you want to hear first? The first good news is that it's still Sabbath and we are together. The second good news is that after we finish, tomorrow morning I go home and see my wife. And so, before we start, let us bow our heads again and pray. Father, in humbleness, we come again in your presence and we thank you for the privilege of prayer. It is greater than we will ever understand to be able to talk to the God of the universe and to know that you care so much that you gave your Son for us. Father, please come with your presence and change us in the things that we need change. We pray that your Spirit may do things that we don't even know what to ask right now for. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen. We talked about things in the morning at 9 and 11:45. We talked about prayer, but we want to be a little more nuts and bolts, basically more specific about how to do it. And I'm going to pick a few examples, and I'm going to open it to you for questions and answers, as long as you don't talk too much and let me do the much talking. That means that you can ask a short question, and if I don't like the question, I'm not going to answer it. Or if I don't know, I just say, I'm sorry, I don't know, and that's an easy way to escape. And so, I'm going to go a little through some practical things. We want transformation. If you didn't, you'll not be here today in the afternoon. You'll be home taking a nap or walking through the park in this wonderful weather. This is Michigan in January. It's unbelievable. Or you just eat pizza and do nothing, you know. But if you are here, it means that you want something. And if you want something, that something doesn't happen without our collaboration. It's based on God's power, God's grace, but it's based on our commitment. The Spirit of Prophecy says in the book, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings, that God can do through one as much as he can do through a million or no numbers, I put it in my words, one that is committed. It's not that God depends on numbers. God depends on commitment. You go to the medical school, if you don't put commitment in it, you never succeed. You go to any job or any school, if you don't put your heart in it, you don't succeed, period. I learned when I was a kid that even when you do something stupid, you got to be committed. Otherwise, you never accomplish anything in life. And so, saying that, I'm going to be a little more specific. I'm going to pick first an example. I like stories. If I tell you what to do, you may not agree. But if I tell you a story, it's not threatening. It appeals to your heart, not only your mind. And you learn better because the Holy Spirit is going to help you take the lesson that you need the most. I'm going to give you a story as we start and then go to the points that I would suggest. And this is one of the stories. Some time ago, many years ago, a century ago, I was in a district and one of the churches was very small. When I say small, I mean a few elderly people. When I say a few, I mean it a few. In a bad Sabbath, when it was snow, we had 9 people in the church, my family 4 and another 5. That's very discouraging. When you go to a 9 people church where your family is half of the church, you don't feel great about it, you know? And so I didn't know what to do. And I tried with preaching, and I tried with seminars, and I tried with programs, and they told me every pastor comes with new programs and none of them work. Have you ever heard that before? Yeah. And so I was praying, and God inspired me about something that just blew my mind. And it came in my mind that Joshua, before the walls of Jericho, instead of having a board meeting and devising some plans how to take Jericho down, he went to prayer. And the spirit of prophecy says that he acknowledged his total dependence on God. And he said, I can do nothing and I am responsible for these people. And as you have been with Moses, I want you to be with me. And this, it says there in Patriarchs and Prophets that God came and gave him the plan. And it blew my mind that instead of giving my plan and praying for God's blessing, we need to pray until we receive God's plan. Because there is a plan for every place. And you cannot give the same medicine for all type of diagnostics. It just doesn't work. Aspirin doesn't go for anything. It goes only for some things, you know. You know what I mean. And so I talked to the district, to the church actually, and I asked them to pray. Guess what? You know how many came to prayer? Just about 5 people. That was discouraging. And I went home and talked to my wife, and my wife said, you know, Jesus doesn't say wherever there are 50 or 60. He says wherever there are 2 or 3. Take what you have, like Moses, the stick, and work with it. So we started to pray. And we started to pray in 2 different churches. And I want to challenge you to this. We did not pray over the phone in the beginning. It was Wisconsin. It was about, I don't remember, 25 or more below. It was cold. I mean crazy cold. And so we woke up and drove to the church through that terrible weather. And we prayed for a month every morning at the church for 1 hour. Nobody was supposed to stay 1 hour. People came, prayed, and left according to their work schedule. But somebody came and prayed for 10 minutes and somebody stayed the whole hour. It doesn't matter as long as they were quiet when they came and when they left. And we prayed for a month. At the end of the month, in one of the churches that we had about 20 people, we had 120. This is real. This is real. And we had no programs, no evangelists, no Bible studies, no nothing. I didn't invite them, please come back to church. People heard that we are praying. And they said, this is something new. We want to see what's happening. And they came. And we went from 20 to 120. And in the other one, we went from about 10-15 to 60. Just by praying. And now let me tell you what happened in one of the 2 churches. One lady, wonderful, dedicated lady. But she talked a little more than I do. I want you to imagine that. She came to me and she said, Pastor, you said that in the prayer we should seek God's plan. How do you do that? And I told her, prayer is a dialogue. Prayer is the breath of the soul. I have never heard about anybody that breathes only out. People also breathe in. You follow me? And I said, we in the prayer, tak, 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 and leave. We never listen. And Jesus says, my sheep hear. Or the Bible says, he who has ears to hear what the Spirit says. Or the Bible says in Isaiah, your ears would hear a voice behind you. Or the Bible says, he awakens my ear every morning. He awakens, not my mouth, my ear to listen. And the Lord says that we miss, listen carefully, in the book prayer, we miss the blessings because we go through the presence of God in hurry and never take time to listen. And we don't even know how to listen. But God talked to people in the past, didn't he? And God never changed. Why would he not talk to us today? And Ellen White says, literally, through prayer we talk to God, and through the study of the word God talks to us. And then she says, quote, and I have the quote in my computer, and I wanted to put the quotation, but I didn't manage to give more than half of the sermon in the morning at 9 o'clock. The quote says, prayer and study of the word should never be separated. They go only together. And so I told the lady, I said, she says, I want to hear God's plan, but how do you hear God's plan? And I talked to her and I gave her a whole sermon on how God talks to providence and through the word and through this and through that. And I gave her a full sermon without an offering. But then I said to her, You need to learn. The Bible says, be still and know. And then in this Hour of Ages says, when every voice is hushed, the quietness of our soul makes possible to hear the voice of God. You remember the quote? And there are so many quotations. And I gave her a full seminar on how to listen to God's voice. And I told her how I study. Not necessarily that I keep quiet for half an hour. But people just pray or just study, or then pray and then study, and that's it. I pray and study and pray and study and think and pray and study and think and pray, giving God a chance to impress me through His Spirit. And so we talked. The lady went back home. And I commend her for applying it, because many people listen to sermons and after a life of sermons, they go home and nothing changes. And we should be doers, not only listeners. And so the lady went back home and she implemented it. And she said, Lord, I want you more than your blessings. I talked to her about Psalm 63. You know, Ellen White says that God doesn't need to be informed. He knows every thought before the thoughts are formed in our mind. What can you tell Him that He doesn't know? And so, I now just remember, I look to the left. I promise that I will speak slow. I'm going to slow down. When I go fast, you wave and I will not be offended. You just remind me to slow down when I get excited. And so, I told the lady, I said, listen, Psalm 63, when you go in God's presence, you don't go to say the routine prayer. You don't go to ask with health, job, family, salvation, forgiveness. Ask. You go to know. David was running from King Saul in the wilderness of Judea for 10 years. If you were him, what would you pray for? You would pray for protection. You would pray for water for your families and soldiers. You would pray for food, wouldn't you? He says, in a dry land where there is no water, I've seen you. Your presence is better than the greatest foods. You go in God's presence and you forget your needs. And you say, Lord, I do have needs, but I want you. I don't want your blessing. I want you. My father used to say, if God was broke, I would love him just the same. If he gave me nothing, he gave me the cross, and that's enough for me. And you say, Lord, I want you. I want to know you. Because the Bible says, if you seek him with all your heart, he'll let himself be found. You follow me? And I said, I want you to start in prayer first, looking for God instead of looking for help. Secondly, I want you to start in prayer to study the Bible and think and pray and study and think and pray and seek God's will rather than your will and God's blessing for your will. And she got it and she started to do that. Well, she called me after about a month and she said to me, Pastor, there is something strange happening in my life. I used to do my prayer and go. The more I do that, the more I sense God's presence throughout the day inspiring me. And she says, when I do what He inspires me, things go amazing, miracles. And when I don't do it, it's a mess. And I've seen that from many people. I could give you rich or poor examples, simple or complicated examples. For instance, I'm driving to a board meeting. A story in the story. I'm driving to a board meeting and I am praying, Lord, show me your plan for today. Here I am. Use me. Make me a blessing. Open my eyes that I am not focused on my plans, but I am focused on you and people around me. Help me serve you today. Because we are so selfish, so self-centered, and we see nothing around. And Ellen White says, nobody prays right asking a blessing for self. Close quotation. Nobody prays right seeking a blessing for self. And so, I said, Lord, make me a blessing. As soon as I pray, my wife calls and says, honey, Gucci is sick. Gucci is our little dog. It's a King Charles Spaniel. Anybody knows Cavalier King Charles Spaniel? They are the best dogs. If you want one, that's the one to get. Anyway, and so my wife says, he's sick. He's vomiting blood. So I call my head elder. I say, you start the board without me. I'll be late or not even make it. I need to turn around. I go home, pick up the puppy, run to the vet. When I get to the vet, they say, they did an x-ray, he swallowed something in the front yard, and they said, we were talking when you came, and we noticed that you are in a suit and a tie. Why are you dressed that way? I said, well, I have a meeting. What type of meeting? What do you work? Well, I am a pastor. Oh, we didn't know that. We were talking about what happened to people and, excuse me, animals when they die. So I gave them a full Bible study of what happened to people. They said, do they go to heaven or to hell? I said, neither. So I explained it to them. Next day I went back with the puppy. So they checked the puppy and they said, we wondered how the second coming is going to be. So I gave them a Bible study on the second coming. And then next week I went back and I gave them, and for a whole month I went to the vet and I gave them a Bible study. When we had evangelism, 6 out of them came to evangelism. Nothing happens by chance. God allowed the puppy to be sick, so those people that were talking about it right then got help. And we are so focused on self that we are blind and deaf to God's voice. And sometimes people say, I've been praying for a month and God doesn't talk to me. Well, 2 things. Number one, God doesn't talk when you want. God talks when he wants. And you are the servant. You are not the master. You don't tell him to talk. You just keep listening. He talks when there is a need. But second point, very important. God talks so big, because God is not small, that if he talked, we would not listen. If God told Noah from the first prayer to build an ark, Noah would have said that he ate too much pizza last night. I mean, build an ark, why? Rain, what is rain? God never talks small. And when God talks, it's always crazy. If it's normal, it's your mind. It has to be crazy if it's from God. I mean, God says build an ark, that's not normal. God says, I'm going to put you in prison and then I can save your family through you. He didn't say that, but God put Joseph in prison. That was crazy. God took Moses in the wilderness to save Israel. That was crazy. Nonsense. God tells the prophet to throw the wood on the water and the iron comes up. That's crazy. Isn't it? Don't try to understand God, because you'll never obey if you go by understanding. You need to go by faith. And so therefore, you need to pray a lot until you are willing to do whatever he says. And prayer doesn't change him. The more you pray, the more prayer changes you to the point that you are willing to obey. And so, saying that, I'm going to go back to the lady. I told her, she says, I'm praying for a month. I started to sense God's voice. And she says, the more I pray, the bigger he talks. And I told her, God is working with you, preparing you, teaching you to distinguish his voice among 1,000 voices. God is preparing you for big things. And she said to me, I'm too small to do big things. Why would you say that? Because we look to self. We lost any type of faith. We talk about faith, but we have no faith. And God wants us to pray until we know him. Because people that don't have faith, they don't have faith because they don't know him. When you know him, you have no doubt. And they don't know him because they don't spend time with him. They know about him, but not him. So I told the lady, I said, the more you pray, the more you know him. The more you know him, the more you trust him. The more you trust him, the more you have peace whatever you go through. And the more you are willing to obey whatever he says, regardless. If he says sacrifice your kid, you sacrifice your... You know his voice and you obey. And so, the lady called me again after another month. And the lady said to me, God spoke to me, big time. And God said, you'll never change this church and you'll never reach this city because the church is dead. I said in my mind, yep, we are away just a few years from a funeral. And the lady said to me, we need to have a different approach. We need to help the community. And I was like, okay, where do you go from here? And she says, we need a community center for the poor. I said, okay. And she says, let's talk to the board. Well, she talked to the board, but the board didn't spend 2 months praying. So the board was not ready for God's voice. And so she said to me, you need to come with me so we find a room and start a community center. And I said to her, okay, Thursday morning, 9 o'clock, I have 1 hour. Thursday morning, 9 o'clock, I got on my bike. I love motorcycles. Got on my bike, took a ride to that location, and then with her in her car, we went from house to house until 1 p.m. And we didn't find a building that was big enough and cheap enough for our money. And she says, I see you next Thursday, Pastor. I said, no, you don't see me next Thursday. That's it, I am busy. She says, no, you told me to pray. I've been praying. God told me what to do. Now I need help. I said, why in the world? I told her to pray. Now I have to pay for it. And so I went with her next Thursday, and we looked for buildings. And I went to her next Thursday, and we looked for buildings. And I went next 6 months every Thursday. She killed me. I was ready to move. 6 months every Thursday. I said, are you sure God talked to you? And she says, I ask myself that every time. And God says, keep searching and don't question me. Because we try to understand and to make sense and to have the resources in order to obey. When you receive God's plan, all is taken care of. And God has a reason for 6 months, no room. You follow me? Nobody knew the Adventist church in that location. We did a survey, we asked them, and somebody said, maybe a restaurant? You know, Adventist is not a restaurant, it's a church, but anyway. And so, nobody knew us. After 6 months, I was ready to walk out of that district. I was ready to move. After 6 months, finally, I mean, we went to that town and to the next town. And finally, a guy says, hey, this is the second time you come to my house. And he says, well, I do have a store that I closed because of the economy. It was in 2009. The economy dropped, or in 2008, actually. And he said, I can rent it to you for $4,000 a month. We said, we have only $2,000 a month. He said, all three? We said, no, two. He said, $2,500. We said, deal. We signed the paper. And as soon as we signed the paper, I said in my mind, praise the Lord, next Thursday I don't show up. As soon as we signed the paper, I got a phone call. And he says, I am the Kmart general manager. I said, okay. Are you Pastor Goya? I said, yes. Did you find the building? I said, how do you know? He says, duh, everybody knows. You knocked in every door. And I said, yes, we just found a building. He says, do you have shelving? I said, no. Do you want shelving for free? I said, yes. Well, we closed Kmart. Come here, pick all the shelving you need. Well, I took the head elder with his truck, an F-150, and we did about three trips, and we got all the shelving we needed for free. Same day when we signed the papers. Same day, I got a phone call from apostolic or whatever church. And they said, you got a building. I said, how do you know? He says, everybody knows. God allowed us 6 months because people needed to know the Adventist church. Do you follow me? Nothing happens by chance. We think, oh, God didn't answer my prayer. Ellen White says, to every, quote, to every, what means every? To every honest prayer, an answer will come. But then she says, it would be wrong to assume that God answers in the time you want, the way you want. You follow me? And then in a different quotation, she says, if we knew the end from the beginning, we would choose the same path. So basically, we don't understand and question God. But answers to prayer in the Bible, 92% of the prayers, answers to prayer are a process, not an event. It takes time. When you start praying, God starts working. You follow me? And we never have patience to wait upon the Lord. And so, going back, we got donations from that church. And then another church, Baptist church, called and said, do you want donations? We said, yes. And we got donations from several non-Adventist denominations, churches, to the point that we had no room in our little store. And then we started a prayer meeting Tuesday nights at the store. The Presbyterian pastor called and said, they come to your prayer meeting and they don't come to my prayer meeting, my own members. Would you start a prayer meeting in my church? I said, sure. So Tuesday night we had prayer in the community center. Wednesday night we had prayer in the Presbyterian church. The government called and said, would you handle the food stamps? Yes. The prison called and said, would you do the 6 months probation with the people who come out of jail and teach them to work and do community work in your community service? We said yes. And then we had so much. We were on the front. I still have the newspaper. We were on the front page of the newspaper. The Adventist Church is helping our community. Just about 1 year before, nobody knew the church. And the church was a few old people dying. And then we had no more room for donations. The winter came, and we had all the stuff stored in the parking in the snow. The next door neighbor that had a store comes to me and says, I'm broke. I have no money to pay for my heating in the building in my business. And so I closed half of my building to save some power. And I have the front half opened and the rear half closed. And you guys help our community. I want to be part of it. So he says, you don't need to store the stuff outside in the snow. You can store in my rear half as long as you don't turn the heat on. And I said, how much do you charge? He says, nothing. You have been a blessing for us. I want to be part of this blessing. 3 months later, the business from the left side came to me and said, this guy told me that in 3 months, God blessed him in half of the building, more than ever in the whole building. I'm going to give you half of my building so God would bless me. And we got half of the other building. And then we purchased the whole AutoZone building. And because one lady prayed, that church started to grow. Imagine if everybody would commit to prayer. I'm talking to you now practically. It's easy to go to church. No offense to anybody. I don't know you, you don't know. I mean, I do know a few people here, but not many. What is the benefit that we go every Sabbath to church, go home, don't work on Sabbath, don't eat pork, eat only broccoli and tofu? That's good. I like tofu, I don't like, but I like broccoli. Okay. So, that we eat healthy, that we sing in the choir, that we return tithe, that we say a prayer. What is the benefit if practically we don't allow God to use us? If we don't fulfill God's plan for us, what's the benefit? God has a plan for us. And we want, it would be very sad to go through this life and never fulfill God's plan for your life. Don't look to what you can do. You need to look to what God can do through you. Do you follow me? Imagine every Seventh-day Adventist member fulfilling God's plan for his or her life. Can you even dream of that picture? And so I'm going to give you another practical example. I arrived to Lexington Church in 2010, January 1. And that church, wonderful church, good people, I mean it with all my heart. I love them with all my heart. I'm still crying after those people. I love them. That church didn't experience growth in about 70 years, according to the conference books. Did you hear what I said? 72 years, no growth. And I asked them, I said, what do you do for outreach to fulfill your mission to save the lost? That was Jesus' command. It was not a suggestion, it was a command. And one of them, I'm not going to say who, the position or the name, looked to me and said, Pastor, we love Jesus, but we don't believe in evangelism. I said, why? He says, well, we had so-and-so, we spent 40,000, nobody came. We had so-and-so, we spent 38,000, nobody came. We had so-and-so, big names, we spent 36,000, nobody came. And they gave me example after example. And they said, we lost faith that is possible. So we want you to preach nice sermons, finish in time. He said, quote, finish at 12 o'clock because the Holy Spirit leaves at 12 o'clock and we leave too. That's what he said. That's what he said. Finish in time, start in time, and you'll stay here forever and we'll love you. Now, God didn't call me to babysit the saints. God called me to train and work with them and pray with them and empower them. Amen. And I learned that leaders are no leaders until they make leaders. And so I didn't fight them, because when you fight, regardless who wins, nobody wins. I learned that in my first 5 years of marriage. It doesn't matter who wins. You are unhappy if you fight. It's better to just leave it alone. You accomplish a lot more. So I learned that to be happy, you don't need to be right, you know. And so I didn't fight them, but I didn't leave it the way they wanted. And I didn't manipulate them. I just started to pray for them. And I started to love them. And I started to visit them and bring stuffed cabbage rolls. And I would visit one member of the board, bring cabbage rolls, pray together for his family, and listen to them, and build friendship, and go to the next family, and for 6 months, I visited them again and again and again and again and again and again and again, until they said, this guy cares for us. No pastor ever prayed for us so much. And then I started to pray for God's plan for that church. I said, obviously, my plans don't work. Evangelism, the way they do it, doesn't work. So I need a fresh idea, a new plan. So I asked God for his plan. And I prayed a month, 2 hours every morning. And no answer. But there is no such a thing like no answer. To every honest prayer, an answer will come. It's just that I was not ready for the answer. They were not ready for the answer. Or the answer was bigger than my thoughts and I could not grasp it. So what I did, prayer doesn't bring God to us. It brings us to him. So the more you pray and he doesn't seem to answer, the biggest is the plan and God needs time to prepare you for the plan. And therefore, instead of giving up as many people do, I double my time from 2 hours to 4 hours. And I woke up at 4, and from 4 to 8 every morning, I prayed for the church. And you may say, what do you do 4 hours? Well, let me tell you, when you pray generic, God be with the church, God be, that goes in 5 seconds. But when you pray specific, and you take the church books, and from 200 people, you have only 90 people attending. And you take every name, every child, every husband, every wife, and you labor over each name like it was your own family. That takes time. It takes about 2 hours to go through each name. And then you go over each department. It takes time. So by the time you finish, you follow me? And that takes, trust me, sacrifice. It's easy to say, oh, I pray 4 hours. It's not easy to do. It takes commitment and sacrifice. And after another month of 4 hours a morning, we got no answer. So my wife started to fast 1 day a week. I fasted too, 4 hours at a time. I never fast more than 4 hours. I need to eat. But and so my wife fasted. Oh, my wife can fast 3 weeks at a time. I don't know how she does it. And she says she's fresh. I am fresh when I eat. But anyway. And so my wife fasted Wednesday, 1 day a week, and we prayed 4 hours each morning, and I committed, instead of fasting, 1 day that I would go to the church and pray over each seat. In the Monday mornings, I would go to the church and spend from morning to evening and pray in the church alone over each seat. And that was the third month of prayer. No answer. In the fourth month, I went to CAM meeting in Kentucky 10. I love CAM meeting and I hate CAM meeting. I love that we are together. I hate pitching old tents with spiders. I just cannot stand that. But anyway, we were working during the day, pitching tents, and it was Monday night. And I said, you know, I prayed the whole day. I'm going to pray through the night for the church. I kneeled down by my bed in my room and prayed and fell asleep. By my bed, on my knees, with my head on the bed. Around 2 a.m., God woke me up with a bunch of thoughts. This is what you should do. I learned from my father that whatever you remember, you forget. And whatever you write down, you remember. You understand? You get an idea. Wow! And then tomorrow you say, that was a great idea, I just don't remember. So you better write down, journal, everything, every idea. You don't need to write a book, just the thoughts. You follow me? So I wrote down those plans. And then I started to pray from about 4 a.m. until 7 a.m. for confirmation. I said, Lord, this is crazy. This is too big. If I do that, they will kill me. They will fire me. I need confirmation. At 7 a.m., Dr. Ed Schmidt from here, from Andrews, called me. And he says, Pavel, you remember 4 months ago when you moved to Lexington that you called me and asked me to come and speak? I said, how could I forget? You said no. I said, I'll never forget that. You call me ever again and you'll see the answer. He says, Pavel, come on. You know that I am scheduled in advance. He says, well, Mountain View Conference, double booked by mistake. They call me when they have graduation. So I got one Sabbath open. I am willing to come. I said, praise the Lord, come. What do you have in mind? And he says, this is what I want to try. And he told me word by word what I put on that paper that morning at 2 a.m. And I was speechless, mute. And he says, are you there? I said, yep. Why don't you talk? You don't like it? I said, no, I've been praying for 4 months. God woke me up with some thoughts. I wrote it down, but I don't know if it's just my mind, good ideas, or God. And I prayed for confirmation, and you called, and you tell me the same thing word by word. He says, wow. I said, yep. And so he came, and he spoke to my church. I talked to the board, and I told them, I've been praying for 4 months. God gave me the plan, and I am not going to tell you the plan. And they said, why not? Because if I tell you the plan, you think that I am crazy. You need to pray 4 months, and God is going to tell you what he told me. They said, no, 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 you pray for us, Pastor. I said, no, 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 because if you don't pray, you are not transformed. And then I have to convince you, like pulling teeth, you know. I need you to pray and you to convince me to do it. It has to be your project, not mine. You need to own it. And they said, oh, okay, okay, let's go with the agenda. And the treasurer says, we need to fix the parking, to seal the parking. We need to paint the walls. I said, today we have no board meeting. He looks to me and says, yes, we do have a board meeting. I said, no, I'm going to cancel it. He says, no, Pastor, we never in the history of this church canceled the board meeting. I said, this is first time. We canceled the board. He says, no. I said, hey, who is the pastor? He says, Pastor, what's wrong with you? We never cancel a board. If you are busy, go. We will have it without you. I said, no. No reason to keep having boards and fixing the parking and painting the walls and no growth. We need to do things differently. And if we are not about prayer, we are about nothing. No reason to have a church. And I said, I want you to get the message. You go home and pray for a month. And next month, if you didn't pray, you have no board meeting. Call the conference and move me. Look for a pastor. But if you really want to have a pastor and a church, you need to pray the way I pray or more than me. And yeah, but we pray. I said, no, you don't. And I said, I want you to try for a month and then you can fire me. Do you oppose prayer? And they said, no. Then go home and pray. Well, next morning, I called each one of the 17 board members and prayed with each one over the phone because you need to follow up, you know. And next morning again, and next morning for a week, I called 17 phone calls a day. And after that, I called one a day for the rest of the month. And we prayed together. And they told me, the board members, after 1 month, that they have never had so much prayer in their lifetime being Adventists. And they told me, one of them said, my daughter left home and she never came back. This month she came home. Another one told me, my wife and I are together, but we don't talk together. We have been in fight, in conflict for many years. Now my wife and I talk again. They told me that they don't want to stop prayer because they feel the blessing in their own families. And so, after a month of prayer, two of them, I'm not going to tell the names, said, God inspired us to do this and that, the same thing. Different words, but the same plan. And we started. I'm not going to give the plan. It's not important because God has a plan for every place. The principles are the same. Commitment to prayer and commitment to work. And so what happened? We started to do evangelism, not the way people do evangelism. 1 month. I've never seen 1 month pregnancy and have a healthy baby. That's abortion. If you want pregnancy, it should be at least 8 months or seven or, you know, 9 months. How could you change somebody's life in 30 days? And so we did evangelism 1 year. And what we did? First 3 months, we sent invitations for in-home Bible studies. Why in-home? Because people will never come to my church. Lexington is half Baptist and half rich. And they told me, Pastor, Baptists think they have been saved and rich think they don't need God. And nobody comes to our church. And so, 3 months, because they don't come to our church, we sent in-home Bible studies because people feel comfortable in their own homes. And after 3 months of in-home Bible studies, by the way, we would go knock in the door, and when they opened the door, it was a chain, and they were afraid that you want to sell something or whatever. We say, this is your Bible study, you ask for it, God bless you, and you leave. That's it. We would not, hey, you need to believe, you need to study. Mailman doesn't convince you to open the mail. You do whatever you want to the mail. Second time, we said, this is the Bible study. I want to pray for you. We have a prayer group. What should I pray for? And they will not refuse a prayer. Third time, you know, this is the Bible study. I would like to pray with you, and I have a little time. Can we study together? And they say, oh, come in. Some of them, oh, my house is not clean. Oh, that's okay. I told them my house is like Hiroshima, you know. It's like a bomb dropped in my office, if you see my office. Don't worry. If you want to clean, you clean first my house, and then I clean yours. So don't worry about it. You know? And so I said to them, you know, third time you go, You enter, but not to teach. People don't like to be taught what to do. You enter to build friendship. You don't teach. Let the TV teach. I've never seen any normal human being to argue with the TV. Let the TV tell them about Sabbath, not you. And so, third time, we gave them the DVD and we watch it with them. We learned that from those that we didn't enter the house, we baptized 0.5%. From those that we entered the house, we baptized 78%. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. The goal was not to teach, but to enter the house and build friendship. We had one of the members who said, I told them everything. I stayed 4 hours. Next weekend when he went, they didn't open the door. The goal is not to teach, but to build relationships. And so, after 3 months of Bible studies, we started stage two. Stage two, what we did, we attacked the city. First Sunday, we invited the police force at the church. We prayed for them, not Sabbath, Sunday. We prayed for them, gave them a meal, and asked God's blessing and protection over their families. The chief of police told me that no church, and they had 55 Baptist churches in that city, no church ever prayed for the police force. We are the first ones. Next Sunday, we invited the firefighters and prayed for them and gave them a meal. Next Sunday, we went to the city hall and we prayed for the city hall. Next Sunday, we went downtown and fed the homeless. Next Sunday, we went behind the mall and cleaned the park. Well, let me tell you, our people are a little crazy. I tell you why. When I called them to work be at the church, 6 people showed up. When I called them to clean the park behind the mall, everybody came. I don't know why they like to pick garbage, but they came. And after they picked garbage, they said, it was fun. Can you do it again? What's fun about picking garbage? But anyway, they came. Next Sunday, yes, that's what happened. I tell you the truth, you know. Next Sunday, we went to hospitals with our pathfinders, to nursing homes, and we gave them cookies, flowers, and sang for them and prayed for them. Next Sunday, and for 3 months, every Sunday, we had an activity. After 3 months, the whole city was talking about the Adventist church. Let me tell you something. When they did evangelism years before, the pastors from the other churches, other denominations, would tell their members not to go to the Adventist church because we are a cult. After these 3 months, later in the year, when we did evangelism, no pastor talked badly about us because the whole city knew that we are the best church in the city. The newspaper were talking about us. You follow me? We knew the city and the city knew us. After another 3 months of reaching the city, we started seminars at the church every Thursday, not Sabbath. Why? Not the cooking class, non-smoking class, not necessarily to teach them how to cook, but to get them used with the church and the people. You follow me? And after another 3 months, finally we did evangelism. By this time, they had 9 months to go through Bible studies, to pray, to make decisions, the Holy Spirit to work with them. We had 1 month evangelism. Now let me tell you something very different. Dr. Ron Cluzet did evangelism in my church and in the next town church. I'm not going to tell you the name. He preached the same sermon, same slides, word by word. In our church that had no growth for 71 years, we baptized 51. Many rich lawyers, doctors, many, many, many. We baptized 51. In the next church, zero. And they asked me, the pastor said, what did he preach in your church? I said, same sermons. Then why did you baptize 51? And I said to him, how much did you pray? And he told me, we prayed Wednesday night 1 hour before we started evangelism. And I told him, we prayed 80 days, literally. 80, you heard me, 80, 80 days. Every morning we prayed for 1 hour, 80 days. That should say something. After we finished in the 10th month, 3, 3, 3, and 1 was evangelism. After we finished evangelism for 1 month, we had 2 months to follow up. So we don't let the babies die. We changed the diaper, we nurtured them. So what we did with the babies, the newborn babies, we made a rule, another doctrine to our Adventist beliefs. We said, nobody in the Lexington church gets baptized unless you work. You cannot be an Adventist and be lazy. That's the rule to enter the church. You cannot be an Adventist and be lazy, period. If you want to be lazy, get baptized to other church. In Lexington church, you must work to be baptized. Therefore, you need to look, and we put a list on the hallway with the jobs We didn't put there the people, an elder or a board member, because they were freshly baptized. And they have to sign for one job. Didn't care if it was greeting or choir or taking care of the grounds, but each one had to sign for one job, number one. Number two, each one had to give a Bible study. If they didn't register to give a Bible study, they will not get baptized. Because the more you teach others, the more you grow. Number three, each member adopted a new member. And once a month, they visited so to offer them support through the transition time, through the change. When they lose jobs, when they lose friends, to have friends. And we adopted them and visited and ate together and prayed together. And they got support from the church. We baptized 51. You know how many left the church? One. And 50 remained, and you're healthy and active. And the church moved from 90 to 300 some in no time. Quick. And the church moved from one service to two services. And the church moved from division and three groups fighting each other to no fighting. And the church moved from no Bible studies to 270 Bible studies average a year, each year. And the church moved from no evangelism to evangelism, from no baptism to 50 average. The Anglo church got to be among top three fastest growing churches in the North American division. And so I'm not going to go through those details. Praise God for it. But I am saying when people started to pray every morning, we got to the church and we prayed at the church together every morning. And then we continued to pray at home every morning over the phone from around 5:30 to about 6:30. People would come for 5-10 minutes, pray, and then quietly listen. Go. And people prayed. The more the church prayed, the more God could work. I'm going to give you one example. I had them at my house. We sang a few songs, and then we prayed together, and then I had them go in the forest and pray. God blessed us there when we were in Kentucky, 50 acres property, top of the mountain, beautiful. And we had roughly 200 cars. Can you imagine how many people came to our house? 200 cars parked there on the hill, and we had people go in the forest and pray. And I said, do not come back before you see God's plan. And they came back after about 2-3 minutes. And I said, okay, write on a piece of paper, what is God's plan? Oh, we need to start in time and finish in time and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, give me the papers. I took the papers and threw them in the fire. They said, what did you do with our plans? I said, that's the problem, it's your plans. Now you go back in the forest and you come in 2 hours, not in 2 minutes. And you don't come back before you humble yourself before the Lord and get God's plan. They went back in the forest, and after about 1 hour and a half, they started to come. And I told them, unless it's big and crazy, it's not God's plan. It has to be gigantic and nonsense, impossible. Then it's God's plan. I mean, God is not going to tell you step 10 steps. God is going to tell you split the sea. That's crazy. God is going to tell you move the sun. That's crazy. God is going to tell you walk around Jericho and the walls fall. That doesn't make sense. God is going to tell you take a light and the trumpet. You don't go to war with the light and the trumpet. Unless it's crazy and big, it's not from God. Leave me alone. And so they prayed and they came back. And they said, Pastor, they were very serious, very quiet. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, we had a tomato fight first. We had a big garden, too many tomatoes. I got them $1 things from Walmart and I started to hit them. I said, the rule is from here down. To hit them, and then they started to hit me back. And after we had the fight, they told me, this is the best time we ever had with any pastor. And they were, after they beat me with tomatoes, they were willing to love me, and then they were willing to pray, but that was fun. Anyway, and so, they went in the forest, and they said, we want our own radio tower. We want television. A small church, folks. We want evangelism every year. We want 6 seminars a year. Fellowship seminars. We want canvassing every year. We want to reach the whole city. We want to reach the whole world. And they went on and on. I said, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? This is too much. This is too big. We don't have the money. We don't have the people. And they said, you told us to pray big. You told us that if it's God's plan can be big, he'll provide. And now you say we don't have the money? And I was like, yeah, I told you. But, you know, don't take me seriously, you know. And I stopped them. I said, we'll do only evangelism and seminars. Nothing more. You don't have the money. And then I went to the North American division. Rudy Jacobson had me speak for the prayer conference. Next day, I go to the NAD. We met somewhere in Carolina. I spoke there. And then I went to my hotel room. When I went to my hotel room, I put the telephone, my cell phone, on the desk. and then a cup of water, and I opened my laptop, and I hit the water with my laptop, and the water spilled over my cell phone and burned my cell phone. Now I need to make a parenthesis here. I've never in my life destroyed anything. Cell phone, never lost a key, never. When my wife keeps losing the telephones and the keys from the car, I say, honey, why do you lose telephones? I says, yeah, you do other things. Now I could not use my phone because I broke my phone. I prayed over the telephone and no resurrection happened. I put my phone in a bag with rice and nothing happened. I dried the battery with the hair dryer, nothing happened. I even had faith and nothing happened. Yeah, we use faith to manipulate God. Anyway, and so I went to Ruthie Jacobson and I said, Ruthie, can I use your phone to call my wife? Because we never go to sleep before we tuck each other, you know? And so I call her and she says, hi, Ruthie. I said, honey, it's me. Why don't you call me on your cell phone? I said, I broke it. She says, praise the Lord, now you broke something too. And I said, come on, calm down. And so we tucked. And after we tucked, my phone would not even turn on. It was dead. After we tucked, I wanted to pray. And I had no peace. I said, Lord, if I did something, please show it to me and I will ask forgiveness and repent and change. And God impressed me in my heart that I told those people to pray. And they prayed. And God gave them the plan. And I opposed them. And God said, you opposed me. So I said, Lord, please forgive me. And I will confess in front of the church and fix it. And please help me fix the damage. As soon as I confessed, my dead phone started to ring. I mean it. It was Kentucky 10. And they say, we want to do some canvassing. And we want to teach the students from the academy, from Highland Academy, how to do canvassing. Would you allow them on our expense, our books, to do them in Lexington? I said, duh. Sure. And that was one of the plans that the visioning people, when they prayed in the forest, asked. I said, the phone works. I look and the phone is dead. No image. The screen is dead. I wanted to call my wife to say, hey, the phone is working. The phone is dead. While I keep the phone in my hand, dead, it starts ringing to the point that I got scared. And it is a lady. And she says, I am not an Adventist. I am the head of the local TV cable charter. Local TV cable over Lexington. 320,000 households. And she says, 1 hour, top time, is between 7,000 and 12,000 an hour. I'm going to give you 4 hours a week for free if you are willing to put your sermons online for the Lexington City. Who gives you television for free? Is one what one of the people came and said, God impressed me that we need to have television. And I said to them, we have no money. Are you crazy? And I said, are you serious? 4 hours a week? She says, is it too little? Do you want 5 hours? I said, yes. She said, okay, we can give you 5 hours, but let's start with four. And she says, we tried other churches. We don't like the messages. And we listen to your messages, and we like it. So we like to. And then I hang up, and the telephone rings again. And the guy says, I'm in the so-and-so church, 20 miles east. Our church has only 40 members, and God put in my heart to donate a radio station. If you are willing to do the programs, I'm going to give you the tower and the room and the utilities pay each month. And he donated the radio station. And I can tell you that within about 1 hour, all that I said no to my board, I got on a dead cell phone for free. And this is real. And so I went to church and confessed. I said, folks, I need to confess. I apologize. I ask forgiveness for not having faith. Because God has never changed. When you pray, He answers. Our faith is short. We limit God. God has no limits. And we applied for the radio, and we had to raise some money for the paperwork. I asked them to raise about $27,000. In 1 week, we had $54,600. Mm-hmm. Well, that church has the means. Praise the Lord. And then, listen carefully now. We applied at FCC, at the government, and there were four available frequencies in Lexington. Four. And there were 16 businesses competing for the four openings. And it was a scale of points, 1 to 10. Who has more points wins. We had only 4 points and we lost. So out of 16, only 4 businesses won the 4 frequencies and the other 12 lost. And we were among those who lost. And the FCC said, according to the rule, 10 years you are not allowed to apply again. 10 years. And the church got discouraged. We prayed. We thought it was from God to have a radio station. I said, folks, there is never when you obey God and it goes without challenging. Satan hates that when you pray. Satan doesn't hate when you eat tofu. Satan doesn't hate when you go to church. Satan doesn't hate when you say your prayer. Satan hates when you really pray. And I said, Satan is opposing us, but my God is bigger than the rule of the government. They said, Pastor, this is the letter from FCC. For 10 years you cannot apply. And they say, we need to withdraw our application. We need to take our application back home. I said, no, leave it there. Let's pray. And that was in June. We prayed and prayed and prayed, no answer until December. December 15, we got a letter from the government. And they say, we apologize. Our machines detected only 4 frequencies available. We found out that there is a 5th frequency. And because the other businesses withdrew their applications, those that had more points than you withdrew their applications, and you didn't, by default, it's yours because you are the single one that has an application here. And we got the frequency, and we are 24/7 in the air. And I could go on. When I told the church, they were screaming like graduation day, you know? When people pray, things happen. The church got alive. People that left the church 15, 20 years ago, they came back. People that were in fight to the church started to work, and there was no more fight. My father used to say, kids that do nothing fight. Kids that work don't fight. When church started to work, there were no more conflicts. And the church was transformed forever, touched forever. When I left from there, they told me, they said, Pastor, we cannot praise God enough for the transformation that happened in our lives and in our church. And they said, we love you. I said, I deserve nothing. I have been changed through you. The more I worked with you, I learned my lessons too. I tell you what, imagine if you make a decision not only to show up spectators, but if you make a decision to commit yourself and sacrifice, let's say, 40 days. Jesus fasted 40 days. Moses was 40 days on the mountain. Am I right or wrong? If you made the decision, okay, 10 days. Whatever you decide is, it's the pastors here and you that would pray and make a decision. But if you commit yourself to make yourself available, don't look for a miracle. Look for God. God may work today, He may work tomorrow. He will. He is waiting for us to pray. And when we are ready, He's going to work. He says, when you started to pray, I started to work. But now, 3 weeks later, I come to give you the answer. You remember the angel coming to Daniel? God works. And He's preparing the answer. And when we are ready and the community is ready, He gives us the answer. If we pray. If we don't pray, He can never use us. Now, don't you imagine that it's only prayer and do nothing. You make through prayer, God gets you ready and you make yourself available. Commit yourself to whatever God is going to ask you to do. And you sacrifice. But I had people in my church, business people, that they told me, we thought if we get involved in so much prayer and so much evangelism, we'll lose our businesses and our income. And they testify to me, all of them. We spend so much time in the church, so many Bible studies, so many visits, hospitals, and so much. I mean, there was something going on every day at that church. It was like a beehive. And they said, our business didn't go down. In fact, we have seen blessings like never before. They spend more time in prayer, more time at the church, and their income went up and business went up. I'm not saying that you should look for prayer to get a higher income. I am saying that we should put God first and trust that if we seek His kingdom first, He will take care because He promised, and God doesn't lie. His promises are more secure than that we are alive here. It's based on God's word. Imagine if you make a decision and you say, this year is going to be different. This year, we commit ourselves to prayer. We commit ourselves to walking with God, depending on God, hearing God's voice, obeying day by day. Ellen White says in a quotation in the book, I'm trying to remember, I believe it's prayer. I have it here. She says that Jesus sought God's plan for every day. And then she says, we should make no plans for ourselves. And if we do, she says, lay them before the Lord every morning, ready to fulfill them or to surrender and give them up. That's what she says. I have the quotation here. I can read it to you. I will be happy to. And then she says, we should depend on Him every day so He could use us. Imagine if you would surrender every day to the Lord and say, Lord, here are my plans for today. Do whatever you want with them. I trust you. And take that courage to taste and see how good he is. Because if you take that risk one day, you'll see that you don't go wrong. And you'll take it second day, and your faith is going to grow and grow and grow. You will not go wrong. God is not looking to damage us. He has plans for us. And remember, folks, these things will burn. Don't we believe that? There is nothing that you sacrifice for God that doesn't come back 10 times. And I could give you more stories. I'm not going to give you more stories. I'm going to give one and I'm done. I was in Czech Republic for the division meetings. And Paolo Benini, that is the Sabbath School and Family Coordinator in ECD or TED, which one? TED, Trans-European Division. Paolo Benini, that is from Italy, he said, Pavel, to me, in front of everybody, Jerry Pace, Jonas Arias, Anthony, everybody was there. He says, I'm going to embarrass you now. I'm going to put you on the spot. I said, what have I done? I tell too many jokes. I know. He said, no. You don't know what happened in Milan. I said, no, I don't know what happened in Milan. I've never been in Milan. How could I know what happened in Milan? He said, well, you went to Spain in 2004. I said, yes, but Spain, Madrid is not Milan, Italy. You know, it's a little difference. I went to Spain in 2004 and gave the prayer seminar. And I prayed that God would use it for his kingdom. And I got no answer to my prayer. They were like cucumbers. Nobody moved. No emotions. No response. It was like, oh, come on. I sacrificed. I traveled so much. Do something. Shake your head. Let me know that you are alive. Breathe. Do something. And nothing happened. And I left Spain quite upset and frustrated that I spent my time for nothing, you know. And I go home. That was 2004. And then we talk 2017 or 2018. How many years later? God answers every honest prayer in his time. I go to Czech Republic. And Paolo Benini says, way back in 2004, you went to Spain. And he says, there was a lady from Milan church. Small dead church, a few elderly people. I don't remember the number, but we talk about 20, 30 people. Not many. In a good Sabbath, maybe a little more. And an old lady was visiting her children in Madrid, and she recorded on the cell phone. You know that elderly know how to record on the cell phone? And they even text. Yeah, my mom told me I started to learn how to text. That's amazing. My granddaughter, 3 years old, she knows how to seek on YouTube, how to find on YouTube the Frozen or however you call it. You know, that's crazy. But anyway. And I tell her, watch something better. But you know, anyway. And so, back to the story. He said, the old lady went to Madrid. She recorded a seminar on her cell phone. She went home. And she took the time and sacrifice. And she typed the whole prayer seminar on a 44-page brochure. And she gave it to all elderly church members in the church and asked them all to read the prayer seminar. And they all did because it came from her. And they all got together at the church in Milan, I believe 2 days a week, at 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. and they prayed. And then they increased to 3 days a week, and then they increased to 4 days a week, and then they increased to 5 days a week the most. And they said that when they started to pray, their families that did not go to church started to go to church. Their own families. And then they started to pray even more. They increased from 1 hour to I don't know how much. I don't remember all the details. And a neighbor to the church came one morning and said, folks, what are you doing here? You used to come one day a week, Saturday morning, for about 2 hours. Now you come every morning at 6 a.m. What do you do? And they said, well, we pray. What do you pray for? Well, we pray for the church, for the city. And the guy said, my wife has terminal cancer in 4th stage, metastasis. And she was sent home. Would you care to pray for her comfort? And they said, we will. And they told Paolo Benini, when he went there to search what happened with that church that grew, they told him, we didn't believe, we didn't expect a miracle. But the following week, the man came back and said, I took my wife to the doctor and she's cancer free. And he says, I don't know why. All I know is that you are praying for her. They were amazed. And so the guy told his neighbor. His neighbor came to the church and said, my kids are in drugs. Would you pray for my kids? And then next neighbor, and next neighbor. And soon enough, the church went from about 40 people, listen carefully, to about 300 people. And there was a line every morning from several blocks, the neighborhood, waiting in line to be prayed for. Well, let me tell you, folks, when the community comes in line that you pray for them, that's a good church. My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. And then they planted a second church, a third, and now a fourth church in Milan. That's very secular, Milan, Italy. And they started praying together, and then God gave them the plans. And they did some Bible expo and some. The story is long. I'm not going to go through all the details. I make an appeal to you, and it's not from me. I strongly believe that it's time for revival. Amen. I strongly believe Jesus is waiting for his church to wake up. Jesus is coming again. Amen. I strongly believe that if we don't do it, others will do it, and we will be responsible for it. I strongly believe that we will never be able to finish the work unless we receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The work started with the Holy Spirit, and the work is going to be ended by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I strongly believe the quotation that says that the greatest need that we have is revival, and revival comes when we pray. When the disciples really prayed, the Holy Spirit was pulled, and the work started not in human power. Who would believe that 11 people would do that type of work? It's not in human power. Think about Jericho. It was not in human power. I strongly believe, as Ellen White says, that when we pray and we commit to prayer, we will be ready and the Holy Spirit will be pulled and there will be revival. God, why would I say, let the others start? Don't wait for anybody. If you want to be part of it, you need to start. God is calling his church and God is calling you to start praying. God is not calling you to do whatever sacrifice. I mean, it's nice if you do it. Give $1 million to the church, that's wonderful. But I'm not talking about that. Not calling you that you run 10 miles a day. Not calling you that you... All those are good things, necessary, but... Not calling you that you do 100 Bible studies. Those are good things. But God is calling you to commit to prayer. To put him first. Every morning, select time. Set time aside. Wake up a little earlier. Love God more than you love sleep. Wake up earlier and start the day with God. Don't look for miracles. Just look for him. Look for relationship. Lord, I need you, period. I'm not going to ask for blessings. You know my needs. I can mention the needs too. But before the needs, I want you. I want you first. Because God doesn't mail blessings. Blessings come along with him when he comes. And we seek the blessing without seeking him. And that's crazy. How will he not also give us all things in Jesus? Things don't come alone. They come with Jesus. When he comes, they come. Stop seeking blessing without seeking Jesus, because they come together. And so, start every day with prayer. Don't seek blessings. Don't seek miracles. Seek a relationship with the Lord. Lord, I want to know you. Because God promised, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And the more you get, the closer you get to God, the closer he'll get to you. And he'll get you ready. And when the time comes, he's going to impress you what to do. And if the whole church, or at least half of the church, does that, can you imagine when God pours his spirit over this good crowd, what's going to happen here? Imagine if all churches in this area do that. God can do it, and he's waiting to do it. He is at the door. It's not you begging him, please come. He's at the door begging to come. You just need to be willing to set that time aside. And as you pray and as God gets you ready, he's going to impress you what to do. But you need to start somewhere. This is the time. Why tomorrow? This is the time. Don't wonder, well, I cannot do it. Yes, you cannot do it. I cannot do it. Nobody can do it. Not the pastor, not the name. Nobody can do it. But when you pray and acknowledge your dependence, God will do it, regardless your incompetence, your weakness, your lack of merits. God will do it because of His grace and His promise. And you look back and you say, why would God use somebody like me? Because of His grace. And you'll say, Lord, it all belongs to you.